Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 770. Let's go to the Nerdist Community Corkboard. Julian writes, I work for an awesome nonprofit in Portland called Playwright. Playwright transformed the lives of youth at the edge through the power of performance and art. Workshops have one-to-one relationships between student and trained coach. Coaches support students in writing and directing an original play based on their own life experiences. And it sounds like a really great program, actually. Julian went through the program in high school in 2006 and said it was amazing. So check out the site to find out who you can help. Join or see a show at playwrightinc.org. That's PLAYWRITEINC.org. And then Daniel Gower writes, I'm a host of a comedy podcast in Indianapolis called The Friendship. We are hosting a stand-up show on Saturday, December 12th to raise money for a local women and children's center called the Julian Center. Tickets are $5 and all money is raised that night that will go to the Julian Center. Great cause. People are encouraged to donate more or bring in a needed item like box dinners or bedding. The doors are at 7 and the show is at 8, and that's at the Indy Art Gallery, 26 East 14th Street, downtown Indianapolis. For more info, go to juliancenter.org. You could just donate if you wanted to, if you can't make the show or you're not local or whatever. This episode is the Silver Sun Pickups, who are so nice. I was a fan of their music, and they listened to the podcast, apparently, so we mashed our fandoms together, and they joined us over at SIR, which is a recording facility where we do all of our musical podcasts, and they were so funny and great, and then they did 3 songs, which we tacked on to the end, and I requested the song that a classic song of theirs called Lazy Eye, and they played it live, and they sounded great, so just a fun afternoon podcast on the old Nerds Podcast Network. Just a fun conversation about music and stuff and embarrassing yourself in public. And then there's songs in the middle of your day or at the start of your day or at the end of your day. Silver Sun Pickups are promoting their newest album, Better Nature. It's out now, which is number 770 with Silver Sun Pickups.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I think Todd actually
did. Amoeba?
He's a Hawaii kid like me, kind of.
You're from Hawaii?
Yeah.
He's definitely a Hawaii kid.
Oh, he did, yeah.
If there's a record store, Jonah has a sordid history with it.
Did you grow up in Hawaii?
No, but I spent all my summers there. All my family is still there.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's...
He's a Halle boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a... Halle! The only other person I've heard come on the show and say Howley.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for maybe Jorge Garcia, because he was working on shows.
That's right. They were all Howleys.
Between Lost and...
That's right. Must be nice.
Hawaii Five-O. It's nice.
Yeah. And I liked some of those actors kept staying on, like, Hawaii Five-O, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what?
Half the cast is... Jorge Garcia's on it now. They're just slowly turning it into Lost, too.
Yeah. Wow. That would be wild if Hawaii Five-0 wrapped up lost.
Oh,
like the epic crossover.
Yeah.
You know that's come up in the writers' room. Something like, you know, we could just do this.
If you're
we just committed and stood by.
Yeah, Hurley just flashed sideways, and now he's on Hawaii Five-0.
It's the ultimate flash. It's a whole separate show.
Yeah. Completely
they
separate.
Wake
it's
up.
All gonna come back around.
Yeah.
If I'm the showrunner of Hawaii Five-0, I would be putting shit in the background like the Black Rock
I would
ship.
Too, yeah.
And like just like weird.
You know they have it sitting around.
Yes, just sitting there. It's all.
About
no
that Black Rock
home.
Shit. What happened with that? The only thing I remember about that was that one guy blew up.
Yes, that was Daniel Roebuck. The actor Daniel Roebuck, who was great.
Yes.
Yeah, that was such a fantastic
blow up.
I mean, it was one of those just it's out like, of nowhere. Yeah.
It was like a Joss Whedon style like timing thing. Like out of nowhere, like a guy getting kicked in. It's like the
don't play
like,
with boom.
The Indiana Jones shooting the guy. You know?
Yeah,
and it's like
just that perfect moment.
That guy.
Perfect,
and then,
perfect,
of course,
perfect.
You were like, of course that guy's going to blow up.
Yeah, they would. So sometimes they would introduce a character for two episodes. And they're like, okay, well, they're just bringing this person on to murder him. So they don't have to.
I love that. That's yeah, they're like, you know, Murray's been here with us the whole time. You guys know that, right? It's like, hey, Jack, come on.
Jack.
Jack, I've been your best friend this whole time.
We played Hawaii. We try to play as much as we can. But we met, became friends with... Fox, because they were filming Lost there.
Yeah.
And it was right around when Lost was about to end. And he came to our backstage. We were all hanging out. And we thought, oh, wow, he's not going to say anything. And he had a drink or two, and he was ready to tell us everything. he goes, well, imagine if it's like not. We're like, no, stop it.
Stop it.
We don't want to know. We really don't want to know.
We're actually quite surprised about this reaction.
I've brought these flow charts, which explain.
He's like, well, you know, it's like a, you know, we're kind of dead, but.
No, stop.
The last script didn't copyright. Security, get him out of here. Photocopy whale. So I wrote in some of the stuff.
Yeah.
That's when security drags Matthew Fox out by his face and throws him out.
We kind of oil spotted Matthew Fox. Too.
We did oil
he
spot.
Had a
well, no, no,
we left him there.
Well, he wanted. He
What's
was
an oil spot?
Oil spot means you don't show up at the bus or the
at bus call.
Bus call, and if you don't come, you're oil spotted. We've never really had that. Well, that's kind of like a residue tour term that we picked up on. Yeah. But never really used it because we'll never
I don't think
it.
We've actually oil spotted.
But if somebody doesn't show up, you take off.
I heard a story once that I think
and you just
better.
Leave the oil spots.
Yeah, I think
that was
oil
a Lars Ulrich thing with
what? Eddie Vedder got oil spotted?
I think once.
On that Temple of the Dog tour.
Yeah. He's hungry.
He's going very hungry. Yeah. Oh, you guys took off, but I'm going hungry.
He's busking San Diego.
He doesn't mind stealing bread.
He doesn't. Ask your parents. Hey, kids.
Jesus.
Hey, kids, ask your parents what we're talking about.
I was busy trying to think Yield was originally called Yield for Eddie Vedder.
Hey, can we talk about Mad Season now, too?
I mean, yeah. Nerdist podcast transition to Mad
River
Season.
River of the Seekers down, girl.
You know how many fucking dad, like people in dad shorts now, just like mowing the lawn, being like, "That old man,
we're talking about Temple of Dogs, Mother Love Bone."
We recently played shows, a couple years ago, I guess, with our last tour, and with Soundgarden. Soundgarden showed up and did a bunch of shows, and it was awesome.
Oh, that's rad,
dude! I mean, they were amazing.
Chris Cornell's voice is incredible.
Just in general, the band, it's just like they're really so interesting. I feel like they don't get enough credit.
Well, there were some good. It's just that there were good rock bands at that time that all of a sudden found themselves caught in a movement that I don't think they necessarily intended to be in.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those guys got lumped in. I mean, I think Stone Temple Pilots was a fantastic band.
I really like that third record, the one that people kind of don't really like, but it was the one, I can't remember the songs on it now, but there was a third record of Stone Temple Pilots that I thought got them into their stranger phase.
Yeah.
But it was still rock and roll, and I really liked that one, No, at that time he was saying, you remember that record?
I remember Was it there Unplugged where he was like in a rocking chair with a big sweater and no shoes?
Know. God, 90s. You do stuff like that.
The Unplugs were like an arms race like that. Like, let's do something even weirder than the last one.
Real
pointed messages on guitars.
I think it's so exciting because at least the bands could do that back then. I think when Unplugged got popular, it also was the fact that the bands were able to do it, because before that, you'd see like sessions. You can YouTube them all, like Vixen. Yeah. A rat, and they would share like a half hour because it was like, oy.
Yeah.
But then they would get bands, you know, because friends, some friends and I were on the YouTube Vortex. You know how you do that? You kind of like watch something and then go into something else. Because my PS4 has this YouTube app, and we watched like this movie Sleepaway Camp.
We watched it.
I learned about how this get made. That podcast that I just love. You know about the Paul?
Oh yeah,
I
did. He's been on it.
Episode 2.
We did Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage.
That's right. Yes. I heard that one. I love that.
Legitimately had it get made.
They talked about
made because he had a tax debt.
Oh, I love that. Joe and I have gone to see it live at Largo a bunch of times.
Oh, it's great.
It's one of the benefits of Los Angeles, really. With podcast, because we're really big fans of podcasts and all the comedy that kind of generates from
sure.
it. And LA is such a hub for Largo and all these places. It's so amazing to be able to live in a town where all that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, everything Paul F. Tompkins does is insane.
Spontanea Nation.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, there's a
Our
whole.
Friend Aaron Hayes is on it this week.
Aaron's great.
Yeah,
Aaron's
she's
great.
A friend of ours.
Yeah. So you know, you're kind of. You're jacked into the comedy
scene. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're always like, we're the ones in the audience going, yeah!
No, but you know, there's some good crossover. Like it was fun to watch the evolution of, it really was Bonnaroo first. I mean, not sorry. It really was Bumbershoot first.
Oh, yeah. They did.
Where they started infusing comedy. And I remember doing it in the first couple of years, and it was in a small space, but All the shows were packed.
Yeah.
And then watching each year, the rooms get bigger and bigger.
Where do they do that? Do they still do the downtown, the center?
Yeah. In Bumbershoot? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They still rope off everything around the Space Needle, like that whole park area. And
is that a trip to do those festivals, comedy-wise? I imagine that's hard.
It's fun. No, it's actually really fun. I think it's the right type of, like, Bonnaroo's good for it. Outside Land is really good, but Bumbershoot's really good.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the audience, there's a lot of crossover between people who like those bands and comedy. Like there's a good, like you, I don't think you'd want to, I don't think the comedy stage at the Warped Tour would be red.
I talked to a bunch of friends who did it this past year and it was a nightmare from what I understand. Unless you were on YouTube, it was a real rough go.
We're going to go to the comedy stage at Lilith Fair. No one ever said that.
Bring back Lilith Fair.
How has that not come back yet, by the way?
Well, I'll tell you how, because I think Coachella last year had 6 women artists.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Friend of ours, Jenny Lewis, she put out a poster that said...
It was the Coachella poster, and it just blacked out every band that was like male-fronted, and there was literally like 4 bands.
Yeah, like, 6 of them, and they called it Brochella.
So why don't they... Brochella?
It's been Brochella for some time.
Yeah. Like, don't they bring it back? Why don't they bring it back?
Yeah, you see 3 artists at Spaceland.
Started small.
I don't know. I mean, that is still to this day. Nikki is. We always love. We just played this place, the Observatory, which is in Santa Ana.
Oh, it's great!
Yeah,
I love it.
And we played it one of our first big shows was years ago. That our friends Autolux and this band Secret Machines asked us to play it, and it was very nerve wracking. But when we showed up, the guy looked at Nikki and was like, "Your girlfriends aren't allowed back here."
Oh,
and when we came back festival. Now, headlining and just doing a warm up show, same thing. Like,
what?
It's so strange. It's 2015.
That's insane.
Right? Yeah. And Guitar Center is a nightmare for you.
Yeah, they did stop me. They weren't putting a thing on me, and they're like, "Oh no, this is just for the band, like a wristband." They weren't putting that on me. I'm like, "No, I'm in the band." But I think also because maybe I don't dress. Do I dress rock and roll?
Yeah,
but it does happen.
Sleeveless jean vest.
Especially at festivals.
I'm in the fucking band. Yeah, sure.
Especially at festivals because there are so many guy bands playing. I mean, just you don't think about it until you get there and you're like, oh. I am one of the only girls here, so it's kind of
and it's are
strange.
They're just not booking the band. I mean, how does it?
I don't, there's so many. Girls.
Like,
there's
yeah, so yeah. Like, well, I mean, at the Observatory, they had a festival. But was it Burger Records?
That's the Burger Rama Festival.
Yeah, yeah, and that was like 80%
bands
and with
Beach
girls.
Goth is the same way, where there's a ton of
so
acts.
Many, girls.
Especially when we started out and in Spaceland, all the east side of LA. You know, there's girls in all the bands, and then it just seems like when we started traveling outside of our
the bigger
area,
we got, the weirder that scene.
The less girls there are.
That's great.
But come on, girls.
They are there. I mean, you know, it's like there's so many of them, really. I don't understand why they're
not. Yeah, it is
interesting.
I don't
know why Courtney Barnett is not headlining those states.
God, she's amazing.
She's the best.
Yeah, that is crazy to me. I think I just assumed... I had no idea.
Yeah,
I had no idea that I didn't understand. I don't understand the politics behind the.
I mean, I probably. I don't know. I probably wasn't really, but it just seems such a it's such a weird percentage. That's off. Like, yeah, wow, that's off.
It's weird because, like, South by Southwest this last year, all the big acts were like female acts. Yeah. Like, that's been the whole thing. It's kind of the proto or post PJ Harvey kind of throwback stuff.
Awesome.
It's been so
PJ
big.
Harvey, yeah.
I was taking a sip of water. I'm sorry.
I was about to. Got really emotional. I thought you got really emotional about
post
PJ Harvey.
Oh, he's gonna cry.
Let's not talk about post PJ Harvey. I'm not ready.
I was just down by the water.
I'm a fan of Oliver stuff. Oliver new stuff is amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, I just meant that, like, there's a like, it's been really cool to see that and like the Riot Girl stuff kind of come into being a thing with the '90s revival stuff.
Yeah.
You go to see so many like crazy balls out all girl like and girlfriended rock bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
sure.
We have our friends band called Deep Valley, and they're
Yeah.
What'd you say? Balls out, Kyle.
Oh,
ovaries out.
Vagina's out.
Because if it's ovaries out, they've been murdered.
Ovaries do belong in.
Yeah.
So
we want those inside.
This is a very political conversation. Very.
Oh my God! I don't know who I'm offending.
Yeah, well,
someone's gonna be
weird.
Mad. I don't know why, but they are. Abort! Abort! No! No! Wait! If you choose, it's what you want.
Second.
I'm sorry. I'm also sorry. You know, we talked about me being in a suit. I came from work.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm going to dinner afterwards.
Look at you, the dinner.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah, can we come?
Fancy. Yeah. That'd be amazing if you guys just showed up. Just having dinner with my fiance. You know?
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
you.
Sure.
You're congratulating him on the dinner, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm proud of you.
I can't believe you guys are going.
You guys going halvesies?
Yeah, you know.
It's going to be weird again. They are going to TGI Fridays. But he insists that we're going out.
Robin,
we're going to make it good.
Here we come. Basket of fries.
Yes. Finally.
The Bloomin' Onion.
The Bloomin' That's Outback, right?
That's Outback, you're right. Outback.
What a brilliant invention, by the
once.
Way.
It's we got that once on tour.
We got 8 cents worth of product for $12.
Oh, man.
But it is actually really good.
Oh, it's delicious. It's
for
the greatest thing.
For like the first minute.
The second the heat is gone, it's the most disgusting
thing. There is a regret bite.
Oh, yeah. It's the opposite of an artichoke. I mean, you start getting closer to the core and it starts getting mushy. It's like failure.
It's an onion oatmeal.
Yeah, so
totally.
What is that? What Patton Oswalt? It's a failure bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a lunch gun in the middle of it.
That was a KFC bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people associate me with being in a suit. And I don't like wearing suits. I've actually, when I do stand up, I started wearing like vest tie because a vest gives me the arm freedom that I so desperately crave.
For all that flail work.
For all the Kermit
prop,
flailing
all
on,
the props
stage.
You have on stage.
All my prop comedy and my clown handkerchief bits and all that stuff.
Got to keep those shoulders free.
Yeah, you got to keep the shoulders free.
But you know what I do? I assume people see you, a lot of people see you on television and they probably... Like I remember, like, I'm a big fan of Bill Maher, and when I saw him, he plays Hawaii every New Year's, and I was there visiting family, and I just expected to see him in a suit, and he showed up so casual, like literally almost shorts. And,
like, oh, it's kind of like seeing your principal at the grocery
store. At first,
store.
It was a little odd. Yeah. I just expected him to be in a suit. Yeah, so I bet that happens.
Suits are not fun to wear, and so I'm always fascinated when I look at like Victorian pictures or pictures in the early 1900s, and it's like. People were playing soccer in suits. Yeah. Like people fucking wore suits. Like the only
thing that
was the only clothing option that anyone had.
And you look at those old.
Although cricket is still fascinating. They're still wearing sweater vests.
I love when the Dodgers were wearing like 60s mod suits.
I was watching a Dodger game the other day, and I was like, why are they still? They're still wearing pants.
Yeah,
right.
Why are they still wearing
pants? Still wear like belts.
Yeah, right.
That seems really strange.
Why?
It's like, why do you wear like an actual belt?
It's all ceremony, like all that ceremonial garb. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's fun to play in it, but I don't know.
Like the manager's wearing a uniform. Yeah. It's like, why are you wearing? Yeah. You're not going in.
No other sport does the boss dress like the team.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it when they wear their knickers, though. I don't like the long pants.
The
in
knickers
baseball.
are pretty
yeah.
great.
With the stirrups.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And then
a lot of buckles in a baseball game.
Yeah. Why are there so many buckles?
Two old
bows
guys
and straps and buckles.
And unitards and bear punch each other in the face.
Get out there and throw that ball.
I say, put them up, sir. Basically, it just looks like Brooklyn now. Or Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Silver Lake's pretty.
Somebody just posted a thing I saw where it was pictures of a bunch of like 1800s court hipster guys from Silver Lake, and it's like, just remember that this now is going to look like this then.
I think it's way off mark, really. Silver Lake now is Silver Lake now is just a really fancy, rich Beverly Hillsy neighborhood. I think that if you want to see hipsters, you They're not there.
You got to dig deeper.
No, it's rich there. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
They've taken to downtown with vegan bakeries.
Silverlake's like, oh, it's getting dark. I don't want to be out. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I know. Nobody would come visit us, but it was still the same beautiful place, except our houses were super cheap, and people wouldn't come see us, but it was always...
Do you guys remember the smell 10 years ago compared to now? Yeah. Like, there was no lights in 2005. Like, well, in that alley.
There was the smell in North Hollywood, and then it moved to downtown.
Yeah.
And there was no alcohol or anything like that. So you'd have to go to even seedier little bars.
Yeah,
store,
right?
Pretty, a lot of bizarre.
They sold
It's only right next door. For some reason, we'd had a lot of friends having some crazy problems walking from this door to this door. And we'd, I'd go, where were you? I thought you were getting a beer. And he's like, oh, man.
No, but I'm addicted to smack now.
I saw you. Yeah, I did love the smell. I think we never actually played there. Did we play there?
Oh, we did play it.
We did years ago, yeah.
We went to it all the time. We did actually play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I blew a fuse there, like my band. Oh, like, and we had to shut down an entire show.
Really angry.
Literally half an hour of finding fuses running through so that we could play one more song and then be done.
Yeah, Mel has that reaction to blow a fuse.
Yeah.
That was always just that weird rat's nest of cables.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what happens when you let 19-year-olds run a venue.
Exactly. They're giving haircuts in the front. That was always my favorite period there.
Well, you know what? Because it was hard, because right around when we started playing, they got really serious about separating all ages from on and over shows, which is weird, because when we were kids, you would go to shows. They would just know that you can't drink. And you would watch adults do crazy things and think it's like, wow, we're in some crazy place. This is so fun. And then they really separated that. They were so afraid of liquor law things, and the El Rey thing got shut down a bunch of times. So literally, if you're 18 and under, you have your spot here where there's no adults really, or it's 21 and over, and that's a shame. You know, it's kind of a shame. So you'd...
Over in the 18th section, they're just bareback fucking. Yeah.
From the 78 and older crowd, they're all doing heroin. Once in a while, you'd play. I remember playing somewhere in Cleveland. I can't remember where it was. It was years ago before we had records out, and they would actually cage the people. Like, so there was like
an old,
literally there was like a wrestling cage.
It was like a floor to ceiling, like chain link fence between like the underage kids and the rest.
I can't remember. I can't remember who they were keeping from who. Like, who was in the actual cage.
Doesn't matter. Just better not to mix them up.
That's right.
Doesn't matter who you're keeping out or keeping in. Just don't mix them.
As long as they're separate.
Yeah.
You kids can watch these adults be adults. Learn from them.
Adults suck.
Yeah.
It turns out.
Yeah, when you're looking through them, through like. Wired.
The adults got tired of yelling, "Don't be like me, kids."
Yeah. What was your band called?
That one was called Lutheran Gun Club. This was long, long ago.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I changed the name to The Fuses.
But I did music for like 10 years before I switched over to comedy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Let me tell you guys.
Intense.
Do you guys ever get tired of carrying gear to stuff? Because you guys want to stop.
There's like five guitars.
You guys are all pretty chatty.
I mean, yeah, we...
Met other bands less funny than you guys. You guys can do this and live a sweet life.
Wow. I don't have to carry.
Comedy's frightening. It's like, it's the most frightening... It's the most brilliant art. It's such an amazing art.
But you can be funny. Like, you're funny. You can just, you know.
Well, it's not the same as, like, if I show up and I'm nice and I'm funny, people will go, wow, that guy's funny. But if I show up and, like, this guy's got to make me laugh.
Right.
And my job is. That seems like an impossible thing. It's almost like when people say, hey, you got to hear this band, listen to this record. My brain has already sort of gone, I'm not. So when you, I feel like, with comedy, when somebody walks in there and the odds are just against them immediately, unless they're really, really known and people laugh at anything they do, like, be funny. And when you are funny and people are laughing and knowing how this, you're supposed to do this and it's actually happening and you're saying these things, like, and it sounds like the freshest thing. I think that's the highest art.
But I think you crack jokes during your, you must crack jokes during your shows.
Yeah, but people don't expect that. Like, they expect me, like, to play.
It's like a bonus. Like,
yeah.
But you guys on the flip side get to rock out.
If they went to Silver Sun shows and said, okay, gotta hear the comedy.
Then your band has serious problems. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Silver Sun stand-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey.
You know, Jeff.
I think he just had a great idea.
Have you ever had Jeff Tweedy on the show?
Yes, I have.
He's the funniest. I hear, when he talks between shows, it blows my mind.
He's great, funny. Yeah. He was actually... I think one of the first times he was on very early in the run of the podcast.
Might have been the first music guest.
Wow.
It was either him or Ben Folds, but one of I think Jeff was the first one on. And I just had this thought where I was like, wait a minute, what if we went to the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. We could podcast them, and then they could just play songs during their rehearsal because it was at the Wiltern.
Wow. Which did end with him and Will Wheaton going, free Wilco concert!
Oh, wow.
It really was because we talked to Jeff, and they went out and they played, and they just played like five or six songs. We were only allowed to put out two. But it was just me and Will just sitting in the Wiltern alone.
Yeah.
And they were just on stage, and it just felt like we've tricked these people.
That's incredible.
And got away with it.
It sounded fucking amazing.
I think they're bad. They are one of the best American bands in history right now. And playing live right now.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, for sure.
I could not agree more. They're, like, Wilco is just a band that over and over again, I don't know, somehow he's able to write songs that are super catchy, but don't feel annoyingly catchy.
Yeah.
Like, there's like some of the songs, they're not annoyingly earwormy, but they're super catchy.
Well, I think the thing is, too, it's like you just really trust them. And when you really earn trust with a band, that's a really big thing. And that lets, you're open to when bands move around.
Yeah.
And like, there's a sound that they always have, but they can play with it, you know? And Wilco has that trust. You know? It's like, and when he's funny, it's such a wonderful sort of relief when people see the show and the guy, like, every time you're sort of human, like, we used to love, stuff would go wrong all the time. Our gear always breaks down and things like that. And we would sort of love it because it would create an inadvertent moment that I could sort of talk to the audience. Or just
and that's a very special shared moment that you have with the audience, and it feels unique.
You want to get the guard down. You want to let them know you're seeing that. Like, we want, like, you know, so it's sort of like, it's not that you're just trying to be funny. It's just that you're trying to just go, hey, you know,
you're having shared moments.
We're all human beings.
And people always talk about, oh, and then this happened, but it was really funny because they were cool about it. And then we
because we've seen lots of bands not be cool about it.
Yeah, we've seen. Yeah, that's the benefit.
As an audience full member, blown you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
What? Like, what? Who? What? Come on, if it was a public, it was a show.
Rhymes with Schmilko. Honestly, once we were so, we played this festival in Scotland.
Oh, dear.
Watch out. By the way, our my friend Shirley Manson was. I loved her interview on here.
Oh, Shirley was
great.
She's
the best. She's the best.
God, she's fucking cool, too.
That was a great interview.
Oh, she was fantastic, And then I was bummed because they played at the Greek, and then I ended up not being. I had to go out of town, and I ended up not being able to go.
She's amazing.
So amazing, yeah.
We all walked away like it was the cool girl showed up to your party.
Shirley Manson.
She's so lovely. Like, I was lucky enough to work with them with something recently, and she's just, every time, I don't see her that much, but when I do, she's amazing.
God, I had these flashbacks of the 90s where I'm like, I fucking should have hit on her when I was doing Single Now. That would have been the perfect time.
She kind of was like flirting with you a little bit.
No,
we slept together. Didn't she say that?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, it's a joke, yeah. I'm like, I think I'm going to remember that one.
Tragedy is you don't, though.
I don't, yeah.
But I remember Scotland, so our friend Pablo, who's in his band Snow Patrol, he had us at his flat that night. They lived there. We did shows with them, so we became really good friends with them. And he had us over his flat, and we got really, really fucked up. Like, he brought over all this Scottish stuff for us to just sort of try. So we have deep fried this and haggis and Buckfast with this weird. We drank it. And then after we drank it, everybody was like, why'd you drink that? And apparently they're like, English monks make it for like Scottish hobos. Is that
what
it was?
The tramps and teenagers, I think, is what the bartender said. Those are the people who drink
it. They actually make it
It's European night drink.
I remember meeting people and going,
it's like fortified wine with more caffeine in it than like Red Bull.
But we're just trying
just
to be,
buy
you know,
this here.
Fun.
How do you import this?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like you're just
this is meeting all my
shaking and jacked up.
And every person that night we talked to, they said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "We drank a bunch of Buckfast." They're like, "Oh," and they would say, "Like last time I did that, I was crying in an alley, or last time I was naked underneath my bed." I was like, "Great, thanks." So the next day we played at noon at this festival in Glasgow, and we just. It was bad news. It was just the sweats and gross, and we're like, okay, let's just get up there and we'll just do it, whatever. And that was the one show where Jeff Tweedy just got on the side of the stage and watched us the whole time. We were so bad.
Yeah, just and, like on the verge of throwing up.
I don't even remember if we were probably horrible. And I remember we looked over and it was this weird sort of thing where we thought, I want you to leave. but I don't want you to leave.
Of course. So I want you to see us when we're at an optimal performance
but
level.
But if you leave, I'll be sad. Yeah. So no, there's nothing about the situation that wins.
Yeah. This is not enjoyable either way.
He was actually nice. He was almost throwing up on stage
from being fucked up. It's a period of Jeff Tweedy's career.
We've never had that. We've never had a moment that we were that, like, you know, freaked out about something.
God, I wish there was footage
of
you just panicked and just
No, I hold it in.
Jeff, you have to understand, see, we're over there and we drink this stuff and it's everywhere. Please like me.
Tom Waits?
It always happens when, like, when one of your idols is in the room. Yeah.
Just shushing the applause.
You just... It's basically the choking on your idols phenomenon where you're choking because your idol is in the room and it just, you know, yeah, there's no way to will yourself out of it.
I did that with Doug Marsh from Built to
Spill. Oh man.
Amazing. That was so amazing.
When Nikki was on, that was like old school. That was like you. That was you in the early days of Silver Lake trying, like going into the shower and having three beers to catch up with it. Like that was you. That was Nikki off the chain. That was Outside Lands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
What happened?
I was just so excited.
Built to Spill is one of our favorite bands. Doug Marsh is one of the best guitar players.
As it should be.
Yeah. So we were in the catering. Like at Outside Lands, and Nikki saw him and just like couldn't help
herself. I just unloaded on him every time I had seen them, every time I had met them or said hi. And I was like, there was this time that we had pizza. And then I think Brian was looking at me from afar, like, what's Nikki doing to Doug Marsh?
No, we were on the side looking over at Doug Marsh, and I'm like, wow, Nikki's really talking to Doug Marsh. And you had, like, I got married in Italy, and you had hands like the person that married us. Like, you were just like orchestrating everything and doing all this stuff. And I just remember we were looking at Doug Marsh and you see him smiling and you would just watch him slowly, his face would slowly melt down to a kind of like serious face. And then I remember he just wanted to eat right then.
Yeah.
It was like
stopping him
like,
from
eating. And then he's not in space. And then one time,
oh, we're going to sit down. Can we bring you some pizza? You want some more food?
That was great. When you were attacking somebody,
I was like, then you were selling t-shirts at All Tomorrow's Party.
Yeah, and you were selling t-shirts. And then one time you saw you parked outside 7-Eleven. And then I was on Urineco Park at one time, and then Miles Mouse was supposed to.
Did you ever have a follow up meeting?
Or no,
that was it.
No, but I want to see that one because he's probably like, "Hey, that's one person that annoyed Doug Marsh."
That's when you get on stage and you rock his fucking nuts off, and then he's like, "Hey, that one time we had that conversation, it totally flipped."
I feel like that would never ever happen.
Boring, Doug Marsh.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. That's really fun.
That's the one time I've done that to somebody.
I feel like you years ago you almost attacked the Pedro the Lion guy.
Oh, yeah, I love
the lion from Pedro the Lion. They travel the lion, right? That's why they're called
Pedro the Lion. I love Pedro the Lion, and they would come and play Spaceland every once in a while. And
Spaceland. Yeah, you were really into that. I remember you were up in the front and just like, you were like, you were on the monitor. It was Pedro the Lion. It's like this beautiful acoustic music.
Spaceland was such a fun. Spaceland was one of the. Yeah.
Did you go there a lot?
Well, it was one of the five times that my friend Brendan Small and Mike Furman and I performed a 12-minute rock opera about the movie Tron.
Whoa!
We did it five times. Spaceland was one of the times.
Are you kidding me?
And there's no good recording of it anywhere. No. And we'll
I
never
love
do
Tron.
It again.
Why
yeah,
not?
So do we.
You guys should do it again.
You know, in 2003, I met Brendan we were both doing a stand-up show at El Cid. There was a stand-up show. Show at El Cid. And Brendan was like, hey, man, I do music stuff. Yeah. Brendan Small is a fucking, like, guitar virtue. I was like, I do music stuff, you know. We should make something because I was doing a music comedy act with my friend Mike Furman. And he goes, I've always wanted to do a rock opera about the movie Tron. I was like, it's one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Like, instantly. Dude. And so
then
we wrote.
Backing off.
No.
Did Doug Marsh you?
He was into it. It was a 12-minute, like, five-movement rock opera about Tron. And one of the times he did it was Spaceland. So I have fond memories of Spaceland.
Wow.
Of, you know.
Pre-Tron Legacy.
Pre-Tron Legacy. We were so ahead of the curve on that one.
Wow. I'm a big Tron fan. I love the music. I like Tron Legacy as well.
Tron Legacy. I thought it was okay. I mean, it just. I feel
it was
like
just as weird.
It just got a little too. It was a little too Matrix Reloaded for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
like, I think they focused on some of the things that weren't necessary. I mean, weren't necessarily what I liked about the first movie.
How recently have you seen Tron Legacy?
Not that long ago, actually.
Can I throw something at you?
Yeah.
So you know the lady when he's in the Axe body spray commercial at the beginning of the movie when he gets into Tron?
Yeah.
Who, like, checks him out? So later, she's walking home with that the space umbrella.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what's so she's a computer program. Mm-hmm. Where is she going? Is she done with her job and going to the computer apartment?
You know what,
apartment?
Though? I mean, okay, but hold on.
That's bothered me for near a decade.
I know, but I feel like, okay, so hold on. So
when have you seen that movie recently enough to bring it up?
When was the last time you saw Tron? I mean, the same thing when you go to the city. It's like there's a weird, basically just an umbrella walking down the road.
That's true, but I just love the...
She has a coat on.
I just love the dumpy guy I'm an accounting program, so I'm dumpy. Like, everything. Like, all of
the one. Yeah.
And the original
The
Tron.
Weirdest one was when the one he's like, oh, my user. Like, you know, when he's like, are you evil?
That's Ram.
Tram?
That's
Wait,
Ram.
Help, Tron. In my head, I still love Tron. It's so weird. I love
it's
Wendy
great.
Carlos music, and I love it.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's so incredible. But if you... And you know when you see things and in your head they're longer and mm-hmm. more played out, and then when you watch them again, you go, wow, they really, he's just in there for about a hot 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ram's not in the movie for long at all.
Just the whole thing is like, and then we go over there, and then we go, bam, out.
It's like 86 minutes or something like that, the first
it's
Tron.
It's pretty awesome. I like Tron Legacy. It was so strange, too. Like, also, like that moment with the umbrella, it was just so bonkers.
There's a lot
no
of
sense.
Just crazy.
Like,
it's a fun movie, but it's
just
crazy.
Weird.
The
just
logics
strange.
Are just so weird.
And by the way, I love Wendy Carlos. Love.
Sure. Love that.
All that switched on box stuff and all of the
Clockwork Orange soundtrack.
Oh, you do? Popcorn? Didn't Wendy Carlos do the Main Street Electrical Parade theme?
Oh, man.
Oh, no. That was not.
I don't think so.
No. That was, what was that guy's name?
I love that theme, by the way.
It was a different guy.
In-house people.
It was a different guy.
Was it?
I think so. No, it was a... Oh, fuck. It's going to drive me crazy. I got to look it up. Katie, look it up. Main Street Electrical Parade.
You just yell at people?
Yes, I look at it.
The Main Street Electrical Parade was so awesome.
Yeah.
That music was so insane. I remember really being obsessed with it as a kid.
Oh,
totally. Playing really loud in my bedroom.
I'm
and
sure
like making
I have
weird
that.
Toy parades. I try to light them up and things like that. Because there was
ladies
something.
Gentlemen, boys and girls.
Yeah, I love that. And it kind of spooked me out when I was a kid.
Do you have it?
Do you have the rights for that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course we do. It's all. The track. Yeah. Are you pulling it up? Main Street. Oh.
Here we go.
There we go. Oh, man. Synthesized.
Yeah.
It's like a synthesizer hoedown.
Oh, you can just feel the wood paneling on that synthesizer.
No, it's
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
I have to look up his name.
Gary Newman. Alice Cooper.
Yellow.
Shay, you'd think it.
Whoever wrote it didn't get any residuals, though.
Electro-synthemagnetic musical sound.
Wow.
I can't help but like this makes me want to.
So awesome.
This makes me want to like do this.
Yeah. Well, if you have a snail, you go like this.
Going around in circles. It's so
I love
perfect.
That. I loved it. I remember actually when I was a kid. Getting really excited to see the Main Street Electrical Parade, and they replaced it with some sort of river dance thing. And it was
Jacques
so
Perry.
Awful.
Jacques Perry.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Is he alive?
Gershon Kingsley.
Perry and Kingsley.
Yeah,
yes.
That's it.
They did that's right. Perry and Kingsley, they did this stuff together.
Yeah. That thing was amazing. And all the floats actually were, there was sort of a general, like a general musical set like that, what we just heard, that was playing through the PA. Mm-hmm. And then the floats were kind of connected to those
pieces,
things. So when they
right.
showed up, they were adding all the little pieces to it.
Yeah. Well, they like now. I was just at Disneyland a couple days ago, and
so
now
was I.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Get a room, oh, guys. That's a little. That's
Saturday.
A little convenient, guys.
I was there Saturday.
Interesting. Where's Doug Marsh?
He's in my trunk, where he's been for the last 4 years.
With Glenn.
I don't know if Glenn is dead or not.
Yeah, you do.
He told us he was alive.
They
Chris
have
Hardwick told me Glenn's alive.
They didn't say that.
If you play this podcast backwards, it says Glenn is alive.
Yeah, Glenn. Yeah, I'm dead.
Hello.
Don't worry.
Who doesn't love a good backward masking joke?
Fantastic. What is he saying, Purple Rain there? It's just like, be nice to each other.
He says,
in my head, I was like, oh, he's getting dirty with people.
It's something like, hi, how are you? Yeah. I am fine because I know, like, the Lord is coming soon or something something creepy.
Yeah. Unintentional email.
But it was, yeah, we used to listen to those, people would hear all sorts of, all manner of things. Like, I think they said to smoke marijuana there. Yeah. Like, another one, Bites the Dust, is supposed to be like, is that a smoke marijuana? Yeah. I don't think
it just works for nothing. It says we should make out and get high.
Yeah. Just says I should be doing horrible thing. I hate you, Dad. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
So
you're the queen of the wave.
She does that a lot. Nikki does a lot of
fun. Wave game is on point.
The parade. Did you see the parade? They have like the truck from Cars, and it's super like it looks Tron'd out. Mm. And then there's just like this weird disco thing happening in the
parade. Still happens.
There's a lot of iterations of different types of parades. There are many parades now. There's so many fucking things going on. There's a couple different parades. There's Fantasmic. There's World of Color California Adventure.
I remember that thing when that opened. Yeah. That was like the biggest, craziest thing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was the first concert I ever saw. I was really, really little, and New Edition played on that stage.
They did?
Fantasmic, yeah.
Wait, what?
They were like dancing around. It was all just sort of backing track. I'm not sure if they really were there.
That's
but
amazing.
We loved it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they played on the Fantasmic stage.
That's incredible. Seeing New Edition.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they were doing it, but
that is an absolute pull.
But they're really fun, you know, because everybody's sitting on that little river, so they're just way out there on the
Ronnie,
stage.
Bobby, Ricky,
yeah,
and Mike.
That's right.
Mike didn't show up, so Donald filled
in. Yeah, Mickey.
That's
was
like Menudo.
Boys to Men are playing like at the Mirage or something now. Just like we're a couple generations.
I worked at a venue that like Boys to Men had played the night before, and they ship in like a half ton of roses to hand out at their shows.
I would too.
So, like,
your Boys to Men, you gotta do that.
Gets a rose in the room.
You know why? Because they know they're in it.
Like, it's insane. They have a refrigerated rose tuck that tours in their ring.
Hey guys, wet to meet you. Boys to Men just hanging out roses at their fucking show.
That was Belle Biv DeVoe, Poison.
Poison, yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember we were building up our practice space, and when this happened a lot with all of our friends, and like we were talking about earlier in Silver Lake and the East Side, there's all these places you can sort of build up because there's empty, like, you know.
So, but it was a sewing factory.
Lots of cheap places to like get, and a bunch of musicians who'd had no real right to grab tools.
Yeah.
We're all just
collectively zero like construction skills.
We were building free walls.
Remember
we had that there was like, how do we build this wall here without like a stud? And she goes, you need this thing that has a bullet in it. And you hit it and it fires a bullet. And we should have been, well, no, but we all went, oh, yeah.
We're just all hiding. Let me do it.
I remember.
Hitting bullets with hammers?
Yeah. I remember particularly, like, and we were all painting and we just weren't, you know, we didn't really care. And we were smoking, probably doing crazy things in there. And we just all started losing our minds and singing Poison. We sang Poison for almost 12 hours.
I think you should cover it at your next show. There's no reason you shouldn't cover that.
There's lots of reasons.
Maybe Wilco should cover it.
I would love Wilco.
Because, you know, Tweety, like, his style of singing is so great because it's barely not talking.
That girl is poison.
Like, it's a... He really just, he's managed to find
job,
this...
actually.
He's managed to find this really great place between... And then every once in a while, he can fire it up. Yeah. But it's really just kind of... Sam talk singing now.
I like the idea that that's the first person that Nels Klein sing, and he's just got a perfect R&B voice.
How do you not blow your voice out?
I do. No, okay. I haven't, actually.
Australia.
One time in Australia, I got a virus, and that was really scary. So we were opening. Who
koala
was Snow
flu.
Patrol?
Snow Patrol.
No, we didn't.
Everything there can kill you. Even the flu.
Everything is deadly.
We did hold koalas once. We went and did that. I remember it pooed on me.
Yeah, we held koalas.
They were so cute.
Koala shit on you?
Yeah, I felt good about it.
Dick move, koala.
Feels good. It was like a little poo. Come on.
Yeah.
Use your hands. Come on. Aww. Get over it. Like the experience of having this little Yoda creature on you is pretty rare.
And you had a virus, and you...
Oh, yeah. Then
That was bad.
I don't think the koala gave you the virus.
No, I think just the virus gave you.
You wore a condom.
No, it's Australia. Have you been there? Man, you gotta go. That's New Zealand talk.
What happens in Australia stays in koalas.
No, we go on a podcast and talk about it. Very, very popular podcast. Not like a very small podcast, like one of the main podcasts we go and talk about. Koala fucking.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I just
spooned mine.
Yeah. Oh,
no. No, that was the kangaroo.
You spooned kangaroos.
Oh,
you
yeah, I did. That was fun.
That was a little strange, walking over and seeing like all the kangaroos around. And you were in the middle of lying down like the queen.
Well, they just,
and Doug Marsh was there.
Yeah, they just wanted to. I have a really good photo of Nikki literally just spooning this kangaroo. Yeah.
There's something so dangerous, something so serene. About.
I mean, they could be instantly deadly if they want to be. Like they could kick your nose to the back of your skull.
That's just Australia. Australia's just instantly deadly.
Yeah.
Even the zoo. When we went to the zoo, like they didn't even really have like.
Fences.
Walls or no, fences yeah. or anything. It was like that. Yeah, it was like that. That lion can bite me right now.
And nah, he's Australian. They're all chilled.
Yeah, they're like, well, then open your.
Oh,
yeah,
mate.
Mate,
yeah, weather's too nice to attack you now.
Nice, no, just getting shake yeah. it off.
Also, I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah, this was the Bengal tiger, and there was a little glass, and I remember it was Taronga Zoo, right?
So, yeah.
And we'd walk up to it and just go, wow, I can't believe we're this close. It's so amazing. And then once you get up there, you go, what? What am I doing here?
I'm way too close to this thing. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this at all.
Hey, look at me.
Nah, you can hug him. No, yeah. You shouldn't.
Get in there.
Yeah, come on.
Enjoy yourself. Smile.
Yeah. Ah, this little guy. I got house spider is more deadly than this tiger. Yeah, you don't want to get. Yeah. How is that? Oh my God! You just put that fucking song back in my head.
Which one?
How bizarre!
Yeah.
You're enjoy your dinner.
Why did that? I buried that. That was so deep. And now it's been.
I don't even know. I don't know what that song is.
How bizarre! How bizarre!
If you want to know how it ends, you've got to buy the rights.
I feel like I could probably get them.
Not that hard.
You know, it's kind of funny. It's like when you really sit down and put pen to paper, like what you actually could buy the rights to. You're like, oh, actually, I think, you know, actually, I could pay $10,000 for that song just to own it.
Why not? You know?
Kill it
dreidel,
forever.
Dreidel, dreidel, let's do this.
I checked my finances and I'm going to reboot Space 1999.
Why not?
Wow.
Speaking of which, you know, all the Space Jam websites are still up. Like the original Space Jam websites are still
up. Are they redoing Space Jam?
And active.
They keep saying that.
Just keep updating. Space Jam is still out.
You can go back anywhere.
Were those websites back then?
Yeah.
For Space Jam?
Yeah, they're like frames, like those old
oh,
frames.
God,
we
yeah,
saw,
yeah,
well, on
sites.
Tour, sometimes you're in the bus and you have a little bit of time, once in a while, those things, the movies will just sort of pop up. Is it because they're just on TV? Somebody's watching them. Space Jam popped up, and Bill Murray in that is so shocking.
Because he's in that movie.
It's him and the Seinfeld guy, right?
What, Kramer?
No, Jason Alexander.
No, it's the guy, we had him on the
Jurassic
podcast.
Park.
Oh, no, no.
Wayne Kramer.
Yeah,
Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Not Wayne Kramer.
Like, wow, man.
Wayne Kramer. That would be
thinking, that's a way weird movie.
I just remember thinking, going, soon Rushmore is happening, man.
It's all going to be okay.
You're so close, Bill. You're so close.
You mean when he's wearing that umbrella hat on the fake golf course with Michael Jordan?
He's really going for it, too. He's doing this, like, wow.
Like, you only had to get through Operation Dumbo Drop, yeah, and the man who knew too little.
When was baby steps osmosis?
Is he in that too?
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Osmosis Jones.
Holy shit, he is in that.
Oh wow,
that was post Rushmore though.
Yeah,
I know.
There's no excuse for that movie.
Garfield.
But is it true that he did Garfield because he thought it was Paul Thomas Anderson?
I think that's actually true.
Yeah, that was on Howard Stern.
Was that true?
I think that's true. That sounds like a weird thing.
How many days into shooting do you think before he realized it's a different guy? Just didn't look up a photo.
I think he probably realized that day. And went, well,
the director could have gone, yes, I did make
I'm
movie
here.
Nights. They were going to be in my film.
Oh, wait, I thought it was the Coen brothers.
Yes, that's
I think
it.
I would love to see that movie, the Coen brothers Garfield.
Like it was written by Joel Coen.
Yeah.
But like Cohen, and
gotcha,
he just assumed
gotcha.
It was the Coen brothers or something
that
like that.
I got the mix-up wrong.
Yeah.
They're because there's two Paul Andersons. I got the mix-up wrong.
Oh, right, because there's the one who does all the action movies, right?
Bill Murray was also almost in Resident Evil and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, okay, I got the
got that wrong. I apologize. Internet, I apologize. Stop shouting at me. Just listen to the rest of the podcast.
I like it. Man, these reference bombs are just flying out of everyone's mouth.
You are listening to Nerdist.
Yes. Oh my. I love it now.
The Coen Brothers Garfield. What people are talking about. The Coen Brothers Garfield would be
amazing.
It would be fucking unbelievable.
Awesome. Javier Bardem as Garfield.
Well, and you gotta think Bill Murray probably was just in the like the booth by himself, like just like just saying these random lines, and he's like,
"Oh,
that's
probably why he probably recorded it and didn't know." He's like, "Here's my voice and do with it."
He didn't show up to set. Job was to not bring up any information about the production.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to get these takes, one take only each time.
Do you remember that movie? I remember this is another one, weird tour movie that popped up. Remember that movie, Cool World?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah, Ralph Bakshi did the animation for that. Brad Pitt was in that.
That's right.
Yeah,
such a weirdo.
Wasn't Kim Basinger in that as well?
Yeah,
that's
kind of right. She was the cartoon.
If you ever want to have your mind blown, they put Holly B. Wood, the character Kim Basinger played, on the Hollywood sign.
Oh.
In like 1991 when
they
that movie
did?
Came out. Oh. Yeah.
Because that movie didn't do very well.
Yeah.
No. It was weird.
Look, sometimes you go down a real deep Wikipedia page, guys.
I bought
a rabbit hole, my friend.
I bought a cell, an animation cell, from the movie Wizards that from Ralph Bakshi at a convention, and he signed it.
Nice.
That's awesome. So,
my brag.
Do you still have
humble brag?
Speaking of wet to meet you. Yeah.
I would love it if you kind of went, and here it is right here.
I just had it folded up in my pocket.
It's right here.
Aww. He keeps it in his wallet.
Ruin that. Ruin that thing.
Yeah. That would be so funny to buy a really expensive cell, have somebody sign it, and in front of them, they're cool and just fold it.
You just see the paint on it. Just.
That would be such a good move. You're really rich. That's the things you did.
That was when that was episode of The Simpsons where Burns was paying Homer to be his prank monkey.
Eats, Action Comics number
one. Action Comics number one. He goes to the comic book shop and he just like yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'll just eat
I'm always excited when we have LA people. Have you guys been to the Hyena Gallery? They sell a ton of animation cells there.
No.
They have like a lot of like old Beetlejuice and a bunch of like
the
sort of
cartoon?
Stuff from that period there.
Wow.
It's amazing. If you're into animation cells, they're super good for
But as Eastsiders, I'm sure they've been to Wacko.
Oh, yeah.
Wacko.
That was a unanimous yes.
Well, I mean, it's been there for years, but when we were real little, it was Melrose thing. And I think it moved out of there to Silver Lake just because it was cheap.
Yeah.
And now, it's kind of. Is it still there?
Wacko's
yeah.
still there.
Yeah. So I go there once a year. And that's for
oil
Secret
cloth
Santa.
There. For $8 a yard.
Good location.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
awesome. Totally.
Very good. It's good for your picnic table. It's an oil cloth with little flowers.
Oh, yeah. Like you see a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
I bought a crumb drawing.
Nice.
Oh,
there.
Nice.
Is it also in your pocket?
Yeah, I folded it up. Yeah, I folded it up.
I fold them up together so they rub.
Yeah, I did. I folded them all up.
You gotta see my wallet. It's full of amazing
old
art. Vintage.
Yeah. Chuck Jones. Let's see what else is in here. Squish, squish, squish.
Lichtenstein's gene that's in my glove compartment.
Yeah. I've got it in my glove compartment.
Are you guys playing anytime soon in LA?
We just did.
We just
for
did
you.
For you.
Damn it.
It.
Oh, you mean.
No. We.
Yeah.
Actually, okay, there
we
were three.
Are.
Yeah. All right, that's it, dude. Podcast over.
You know,
no, shut down.
The progression on that was really funny. You guys playing it, Simpson? Yes, no. Like there was like an in-between.
Well, because I think we're literally in between. We did a lot of...
who hurt you in this town? What happened?
Nikki and I flew around for about a month and did a lot of acoustic promo like this all over the place. And then when the record came out at the end of September, we did a couple nights at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which was so fun. Mm-hmm. And now we have these Christmas radio shows. That's about 3 weeks in December. And so we're right now kind of in a middle promotion thing. So we're here, but we're also kind of busy. But so we're not quite playing yet, but we might be playing K-Rock.
And I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was why I hesitated. Because I just didn't know if it was announced.
I'm not sure.
I think
if we're allowed.
If you tell us if Glenn's alive, we'll tell you if we're playing.
I really don't know. I know.
You know what? That's the first television show I've ever heard you talk about and you're current on.
The thing is, if you actually watch it.
I don't watch TV except for
Walking Dead. I was so surprised Walking Dead.
And Ladies of London, of course.
Do you do a Ladies in London?
Of course.
Give
it time.
Yeah, Talking Ladies.
Mm-hmm. John Oliver.
It's called, the after show's called What's Oldest Then?
That was the show we tried to get off the ground with when Nick Frost was on. We were trying
that's right.
We were pitching a What's all this then? Random things happen, and every sketch just ends.
I started thinking like that sounds real. Why does that? I've just realized bits are starting to turn into things that were just memories of things that are
our after show. Yeah, let's make that our after show. Ladies London, LOL.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Guys.
It was right there the whole time.
It's amazing.
I'm going to have to take all this expensive art out of my pocket to make room for the cash that I'm going to stuff in there. I'm going to do this genius job.
Did you guys play outdoors or indoors at the cemetery?
Indoors.
At the Masonic Lodge. Yeah. How great is
it's
that
amazing.
Room?
It's amazing.
Really I saw Perfume Genius there like a year ago.
It's awesome.
And it's
4 nights there.
So one of the best rooms in L.A.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was. Trying to think of something really... Not just interesting, but something festive in a way.
You wanted something with menacing chairs.
Yeah, well, we actually took those
we
out.
Were able
we
to
had
take
drums.
We were
yeah.
able to take pictures on them.
Oh.
Yeah. We took really pictures excited. Of those Game of Thrones chairs.
Because they had it all like curtained off. We were like not allowed to touch it. And we were doing like this quick photo shoot. And they're like, let's sit on the chairs. And we're like, can we? Really? We can do that?
None till after you go into the wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Get in there. Narnia. It felt... It's super exciting because being from Los Angeles, that the Hollywood Forever Cemetery is such a uniquely interesting thing that's changed a lot of Los Angeles in some ways. Like a lot of people know about that, not just Cinespia, but all the shows they do. Mm-hmm. And it feels so focused. And when we got there, when we were actually invited to play it, we were excited because we know that the people that own the cemetery, these people that bought it in the late 90s, are the people involved in doing all these shows, and they really curate it. And you can sort of tell. It's almost like using this beautiful cemetery and this quiet place as a place to do a lot of art.
Yeah.
And so being able to play it meant a lot to us, you know. And when we actually met the people, we were surprised. They're so great. And we were just surprised, like, wow, you guys really do control this.
I think they live there, too, because there was a
comedy
show there. There was a comedy show there
yeah.
in the space that you're talking about, and... They took us upstairs. There was like an apartment.
Yeah, that's
upstairs.
That's
like,
where the office is. Yeah, sometimes I think they sleep there because they're so busy there all the time. I love when we met them. We said, yeah, then we bought the cemetery and we want to do a big art space about it, around it. And then we realized, oh, we also own a cemetery. So we have to do some business involved. No, but they have to be like, somebody shows up. I want my dead somebody here dead. They're like, oh right.
Yeah,
we have to do some business with
them. Oh, that's right.
Why did you bring your dead grandmother here? Oh,
how could you to staying in that lodge, how could you just not in the middle of the night just hear?
Yeah. So amazing.
Well, you remember
just Whispers of the Dead.
They did the finale of Breaking Bad at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, right, yeah. That was the big outside thing, right?
Did you get there in time to see the girls who had stayed there all night?
No.
By the time you got there, there were these girls who'd won a contest. So there's this, like, hut with, like, all of the amenities of a studio apartment, but see-through, like a terrarium.
Wow.
But with, like, two 20-something girls in there who had won some weird contest where they got to stay overnight in the cemetery. And I'm just like, no matter how comfortable it is, that's still the most unsettling, terrifying.
Or the safest, most beautiful place to really.
Maybe.
Did they have to hold each other because they were scared?
They were.
Yeah, I like the way it was two 20-something-year-old girls in like a complete window.
Yeah, that was when it looked like you were at the human zoo. Where it's like all the humans are dead except for these two girls.
Yeah. We're going to leave you with nothing but your underwear and these fluffy pillows.
No, don't worry about the 20,000 people here.
Make sure you're decent before the TV crew arrives.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's it is an amazing space.
Were you there for that with the
I was there for that, the Breaking Bad finale. Yeah, we did our last Talking Bad episode there.
That's right.
It was neat.
I left after.
I didn't stay for the big party because that many people in one place. I just get like...
I remember thinking about going to that, but that show was so... We were actually here in Los Angeles, so it was one of those things where we could actually catch up with a show and really love, and one that we really loved. And I think I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I want to watch it with that many people. I want to sort of see it in the same universe that I'm watching it as I've been watching the show. Like, I want to intimate it in my living room. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I get mad when people talk and.
What's he doing?
Yeah. Who's that? It's Walter White, damn it.
Well, I thought that was Heisenberg.
Where's the brother-in-law?
He's dead.
Is Glenn alive?
Glenn's not on the show.
Where's Jon Snow? Where's Jon Snow?
It's another show, too.
Where's Jack Tripper?
Jack Tripper was also not alive in real life.
Is this Tron?
Yep, this is Tron.
I love Doug Marsh. We're recapping everything. You have to listen to the whole podcast.
I love this person who we've brought along.
Vixen!
Vixen! The only podcast that has a Vixen drop.
I defy you to find another. I dare you to find another Vixen reference in another podcast, people.
Maybe the movie Crypt.
But you're going to...
Matt Gourley.
Now, here's right. Yeah, take that, Gourley.
I love the James Bonding podcast.
James Bonding, Matt.
Yeah, those guys are amazing.
I'm surprised Matt's not here right now, actually. But,
oh, yeah, I love that podcast.
But I think, you know, no, I could just pretend like you're about to play the songs.
Oh, right, can we go play a song?
Would you please play those songs that you already played that I periscoped?
Yeah.
That Katie's going to edit to the end of the podcast? Here we go.
Theater of the Mind. Here we go, Nikki, here we go.
And we're walking.
Guitars. That girl is poison. I don't ever trust a big button to smile. That girl is poison. Poison. Poison.
Now do Cool It Now from New Edition.
Yeah. Cool it now. You gotta slow it down. Slow it down. You're gonna lose control. Any more requests from R&B kids tunes?
You know what's funny? The second concert I saw was the Chipmunks and the Magic Flute. So everything I saw had those high voices.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Forum, yeah.
I feel like you could watch that for 10 minutes and then you'd be like, my beautiful ears.
Yeah. How full was the forum for that show, out of curiosity?
Packed.
Really?
This is like real Chipmunks. Not
oh, okay. The original lineup. The Brian Wilson.
These are actual chipmunks.
The Brian Wilson chipmunks. Yeah. Well, people don't know Brian Wilson did join
not,
the Stamos years.
Later,
in the Stamos years, Brian Wilson, you found him with the chipmunks and the chipettes.
Yeah, until, you know, then there was that period of a couple years where Theodore wouldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, a serious grape addiction. Grapes on his cymbal. Got a sugar problem. Come on.
Come on, guys.
It's not funny.
Come on, what are we doing? Yeah. All right. Let's walk you over to play these songs.
Yeah, awesome. I can't wait.
Silver Sun Pickups on the Nerdist Podcast. And here they go.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay. Are we all ready? Are we periscoping?
So nervous.
Film. Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick director.
Yay.
This is the moment now.
Yeah, you do. Thank you. I would love the idea of an audience just clapping one big time. Okay, ready? This is going to be, okay. Un film de Chris Hardwick.
Oh, thanks. What do we do? Okay.
Are you all tuned up?
I hope so.
Starting on the crotch.
All right.
It's like a movie. Oh, forget it.
Just don't go.
It's a movie Bully. All right. 'll be a test if we don't know by now.
been waiting. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. But it's not quite right. And it's real. It's impossible, impossible. Like who's blind work? So clear, but so unheard. On you.
Thanks, Nerdist.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.